When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark Bavaro goes to one knee. Genuflex in prayer as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I mean, time is flying. I told you it's a 5-hour sprint, not a marathon. I remember when I first started, and I'm coming up on 20 days until I celebrate my audition night being 3 years ago. Crazy to think about. But when I first started, I know Steve Summers referred to it as the marathon. I think a lot of people here at WFAN refer to it as, oh, you got the marathon. I'm like, I don't know. And my good friend Andrew Levy, you know, he said to me listening to the show, he's like, well, you know, when you say marathon, that's daunting. That's long. That's like arduous. It makes it sound like you got a long night at work. And I don't really take that approach. This is fun. I know there are a lot of people listening that have a lot tougher jobs than me. You know, I meet people at Yankee Stadium and other places that are like, yo, I worked the overnight, so I listen to you. You know, my boys don't know who you are because they don't work at night. But like, you get me through my shift, and I want to help you get through your shift, whether you're driving, whether you work construction, whatever it might be. Like, I want your shift to fly by because we're taking calls, we're interviewing people, we're rolling through topics, we're smoking through the night. It's already after 10. This show will be over in less than 2 hours, so let's get back to the phones. I haven't had a caller in a little while. What I will add is I said I wanted to talk about the Jets depth chart. And eventually I'll get some Jets fans to call and react to the Garrett Wilson stuff that I said. And even Braylon Allen, who is number 2 on the depth chart. And I thought Izzy Abanaconda was going to be there. He's number 4 on the depth chart. And when you look at this running back room, like, don't sleep on him. I know it's all Aaron Rodgers. Run the damn ball. Run the football. Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, and then fellow rookie Isaiah Davis is third string. Izzy Abanaconda is fourth. And then also, when you look at this offensive line, which I'm telling y'all, that first-round pick in Olu Fashanu, he's going to play. And he's getting a lot of reps in camp, which is good, because he's going to play. He's not going to be a rookie, you know, waiting in the wings. He's definitely going to play. And I was reading an article about the unofficial depth chart, and it said something that, you know, this offensive line, this is the most change on the Jets team. And this offensive line has only practiced together once in camp. That number is going to increase, but Tyron Smith has been out just getting veteran rest. They're saying, oh, he's tight. They're listing him as tight. He's not tight. It's just, he's up there in age. They don't need him to practice. He knows what to do, and they got to keep him healthy. Morgan Moses, who was added to the team, has a pec injury. And AVT, who's been injured a lot, he's got the Achilles tendon, so they're all on pitch counts. But man, like, I remember around this time last year when the Jets had their first like joint practice with the Buccaneers, that was when our antennas first went up because Aaron Rodgers was pissed off. Like, this isn't good enough. And I remember a lot of people saying, whatever, it's training camp, they'll work through it, it'll be fine. And I was saying, no. Like, this is all new. And if they're not protecting 39, now 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, what are we doing? That has to be paramount. That can't be something that we say, oh, it'll just work itself out. No. We work this out before we work anything else out. Everything else is fine.
There was this a whole Hard Knocks episode fixed about it, right?
Yeah.
Like that was the joint practice with Carolina. Or, sorry, not
the with
joint
the Buccaneers, practice with Tampa.
Yeah, and then the game against Carolina, the preseason game against Carolina. And they knew, you knew it was going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. They, like, almost foreshadowed it for the season, right?
If there was one thing you had to put a dollar on to bet was going to be an issue, it was that. And, I mean, obviously he got hurt. Really was more of his own fault. He should have let go of the ball. But still, what was it, right? It was Dwayne Brown going for a cut block, right? On who's the guy coming off the edge for the, I can't remember, Floyd? Coming off the edge for the Bills and ends the season. Leonard Floyd, yep. 888-808-1019. Okay, now we're going to get some Jets fans in here, but I don't know, man. When I'm on, I talk to the same Yankee fans. Dominic is in East Rochester. What's up, Dom? You're back.
Keith McPherson, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good. You know, I never thought that you would be unfair to me, but tonight you're being unfair to me by talking about football. How am I supposed to talk about football?
Cleveland Browns fan. You can. You know why? Because your Browns face my Dallas Cowboys in week one, and I'm betting on the Browns.
You knew exactly where I was going with that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, man, 50 plus years, honest to God. Anyway, listen, on the Yankees, I'm Mr. Negative, but I'll start out with a positive thing tonight. And this Mr. Judge, our outfielder, I'd like to say right fielder, but then he's a center fielder.
He's played every position in Yankee Stadium.
Well, you know, with them screwing around with the outfield almost cost us the game yesterday because, you know, they screwed up out there. But be that as it may, my son Justin and I, we saw him, you know, early hit his first home run, actually. And you know, you knew he was going to be good. There was an issue about he was so big that, you know, usually he doesn't have a baseball body. There hasn't been a lot of guys his size that has succeeded in baseball. But, Keith, I got to tell you, when they make comparisons about what this guy's doing, Keith, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, they're mentioning Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
You know, Lou Gehrig, you know.
He's in the company with all-time great Yankees. And I'm going to continue to say he's the best player I've ever seen. Yeah, I watched Barry Bonds, but I was a younger guy, and I wasn't staying up to watch the Giants host the Diamondbacks. Like, Judge is like that. There was a stat, 16 first-inning homers, and Kaster goes, you know, Babe Ruth has company, or move over, Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth has company as Judge hit that homer, I think, in the second game of the Orioles or Blue Jays series, rather.
But, you know, and you're right, and that's happened a lot, you know, with Babe Ruth. I mean, you're talking about 100 years ago with Babe Ruth. But these other names are coming up is what I'm saying. You know, again, DiMaggio and Mantle and Gehrig, you know, these are... This is hallowed ground, Keith. Really, it is. It's really fascinating. You know, embrace it.
That's why I said this guy is in his prime. This guy is breaking records, and you're just chilling. You're not going all in at the deadline. You're just saying we have enough. You just adding Jazz Chisholm, Mark Leiter Jr., and another release.
De Los Santos. That's enough. It. You know, they didn't do enough, and you know, I got beat up. On some other show with the fact that, you know, I'd like to know a little bit more about the deals that we didn't make. In other words, if we didn't get a certain guy because they wanted Dominguez, what would be so bad about management saying, well, we didn't make the so-and-so deal because they wanted Dominguez? To me, that would be...
That's a losing endeavor. They're never going to win that one. Telling you why they didn't make the move, they're always going to lose that battle with the fans.
You know. Anyway, Keith, listen, more importantly right now, Keith, I don't think Cole's right, buddy. I don't think
he's not.
Cole is right. I don't like it. There's something wrong there. And I got a feeling I know where this is headed. I hope I'm wrong about that, but something's not right. I got just a couple other quick things, Keith. I think 13 left on base yesterday, I think it was, right, Keith?
Yeah, something
That's not going to work. We're starting to think about the playoffs. 13 guys left on base isn't going to work. Keith, I don't like Boone. I didn't want Boone because he had no experience. I know he's got the pedigree. I know he's not going to get fired, anything like that, but boy, Keith, this handling of the Torres thing to me was just pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. What did they do? Punish him for four innings or
just, yeah, and like the crying, and thanks for the call, Dom. I just got to keep it rolling here, you know. I try and give you guys your time, but at the same time, we got a time burning on us. I haven't really talked too much about the Gleyber Torres thing. I was at the game, and I think I was in the bleachers, and when they, you know, first off, when Gleyber didn't hustle and that ball went off the wall and we saw he was only at first base, it's like, you know, but like this is something like, it's funny, I tweet during the games, and sometimes we don't see things or know things. I used to let it bother me. Now I literally don't care, but someone like, you sitting at home have every angle. You have Michael Kay telling you all these different things. Us sitting in the stands, we can't see all that. We might get an instant replay, but whatever, we couldn't tell. And then even in real time when he got thrown out at home, I was like, did he blow through a stop sign? No, he was sent. But you know what it is? Like, you have to make an example out of somebody, and I think I said a little bit of this last night. Enough is enough. Gleyber Torres isn't going anywhere. This is who Gleyber Torres is, but if they were going to make an example out of anyone, it's Gleyber Torres. If Marcus Stroman was going to yell at anybody and lose it on anybody, it's Gleyber Torres. Right? If there's somebody that you could actually do that to in a game that the fans are going to be like, yeah, fine by us, it's Gleyber Torres. He's good as gone next year, and we've seen this 30 times. Like, over the years, it is his calling card, it's part of his DNA. It didn't turn into anything great for the Yankees. The game was over because Marcus Stroman didn't have it. The game was over because there was a rain delay, and, you know, Stroman, I don't know, he blew out his candle at his locker, and he wasn't ready to go. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you know, that's one of those things. He's got to be better. But making an example out of Gleyber Torres is one thing. But then what I had the issue with was the post game, telling us, oh, this guy competes his butt off. And then even, like I jokingly said about Judge, you must not know Gleyber for you to come out and say, if I know Gleyber, this won't happen again. If I know Gleyber, it's definitely going to happen again. This season, maybe this homestand. Because that's just, he's just going to fall asleep at the wheel and do stuff like that, right? He thought, he took the lead. He thought, boop, here's a two-run homer. Let me admire it. Let me bask in the glory. Instead, like, you look like a fool again. So, I don't know. I think it was a message to the fans. I don't think we've ever seen Boone do that. Better late than never, especially if you're, you know, in a contract year. And then also a message to the team. Hey, this is it. This is the second half. The deadline is passed. This is who we've got. You have to give effort. You have to compete. You have to play up, lock in, all of you, 888-808-1019. And then the next day, there was a play. I got to go back to my notes. I had notes from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then I had a short show yesterday. But there was a play I had in my notes where there was an error. Verdugo pouting, feeling down about himself, grounds out to third base, or at least he thought it was a ground out. But then it was a wild throw, which pulled Vladdy Jr. off the bag, and he's jogging, assuming that he's out, and then he had all the time in the world. Maybe if you were hustling it, you could hustling down the first base line, you could have ended up on second. And then Verdugo the next day is out, and they say it's because he's beat up. And I jokingly said, from what? Running into the wall a month ago? Like, what is he beat up for? We just came out of the All-Star break. So don't tell me he needs a rest day. This is a, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Charlie in Queens knows. What's up, Charlie? You're on the Fan.
Hello, Keith. The way I look at it with this Yankee team is you can't take the highs too high and the lows too low.
Correct.
Because they have a good team. It's just mentally certain people. And I love the dog. You know, I have the sign. Sometimes he mentally checks out too.
It looks like he's mad, but like, you know what? I even heard, I think Cashman said it on air with BT and Sal here. He said, you know, well, Verdugo, people think he's not hustling, but really, he's just mad at himself for turning over on a ball that he feels like he should have driven into the gap. I don't care if you're disappointed that you didn't run, because anything can happen. A bad throw, you could be on second base. Run. Stop the pouting. I'm tired of these guys. It's soft. You guys are New York Yankees. You play in the pinstripes. You play for New York City. You're hated by everyone. You get everyone's best shot. You, like, stop crying.
You get paid millions of dollars to go play a kid's game. Stop being down on yourself. Break out of it and stop having Yes Network cut to you guys in the dugout pouting like babies. Enough. There's no crying in baseball, right? Go for it, Charlie.
And maybe we should maybe look into having Posada on the bench. Because I don't think Posada would let them be a little mopey, kill children on the thing. He'd be like yelling at them. Like,
shout out to Jorge Posada.
Go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. Just stay in the bathroom. You want to be whining all day.
Hip, hip, Jorge. He's far from here. He's not coming to sit on the side. He's not sitting on the bench. He's,
oh, no? Okay.
All well, those guys, know, man. Here. I mean, they, you know, shout out to Bernie, who pulled up for spring training, and some of the other guys that put in time. But, like, you know, the core four guys, like, I know Pettit is around. What's but, like, Jeter and Posada and Mariano, those guys aren't coming back to, you know, get these guys right. They're looking at these guys like, you know, you haven't earned the right to wear pinstripes. You guys are still living off of what we did.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad that they, like, One game or two games, it looks like they might be out of it. And a stupid little thing where they should have been like, get angry, but focus on that next play.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, Charlie.
You made a mistake, so do it better the next time.
They have so much that we've seen from them this year that's like that, that I'm like, how does that not show up in October? How in these next 2 months do they just get that out of their system, create the right habits that they're going to need when we get to these tense, tight moments in the postseason where if Verdugo is not getting that extra base on an errant throw, like that could cost you a run. If Gleyber Torres isn't on second because he's admiring his single off the top of the wall, like that could cost you a run that loses you a game 3-2.
And it's also a thing, you know, you're getting paid, and I understand, like, money, whatever, but you are getting paid quite a bit to play a game, and you should be prepared at all times.
Yep.
Should be like, you know what, this is what my money's coming from, like you with the radio,
yeah.
So you work on your radio skills,
yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like them.
Yeah.
You got it.
And I've had highs, I've had lows in the radio, I'm not crying about it. I mean, if I was getting paid that much money to play baseball, I'd be a professional. I would just be like, it is what it is. I got to be better. I wouldn't be like, come on, we're grown men.
And real quick with the Giants, practice is, I was like, you know, one of the backup players who helped, like, you know, with scrimmages. Let me tell you, practice is nothing like the real game.
Nothing. It's prep.
And I mean, I looked on the field. My coach went, okay, come one time to the thing. Just see what it's like. And I'm like, oh, shoot, man. And this is in high school. And they move quick. Yeah, yeah, that's right. We hold you back. He goes, they're going full speed.
Yep. Yep.
And you go, so keep your head in the game. But so with the Giants, it's just practice. And it's like very loose and everything anyway. So it isn't like regular game play. It ain't even close.
Yeah. That's why they're fighting. That's why practice turned into Royal Rumble. You're the man, Charlie. Charlie's one of the creatures. I should have brought the creatures thing back, but the call was running long. I'm trying to get to you guys. 888-808-1019. I got to get to you guys before midnight comes, but I should have asked Charlie, hey, give us a Bleacher Creature story of something that went on out there. You know, my favorite thing with the bleachers, and it's starting to change now because we have guys have aged out. I'm aging out, you know. I don't see myself as I used to be, you know, 40 games in the bleachers. Now I'll be there for roll call. I'll be there for a few innings. And then I'm being summoned somewhere else or asked to come somewhere else. Or I'll have a ticket somewhere else, whether it's Legends or the Suites or my WFAN seats where I'm like, yo, I'm out. Like, once upon a time, I didn't have this access. It's not lost on me. I got to go, guys. Love you. I'll be back. But, like, I'm going to go sit where I can, like, see the ball come over the plate. One of the things that I used to just love was the camaraderie. You know, speaking of going to Legends or Suites, I still do this. I'll bring food back to the section. I'll grab extra slices, cookies, stuff like that. You guys don't need it in Legends. There's plenty of food that goes to waste every night. I'll bring it to 203. And you know, just everybody looking out for each other. Hey, you need some? Somebody come back with a chicken bucket and fries. Everybody's eating the chicken bucket and fries. Yo, I'm going to get a drink. Keith, you need some? You need, like, you know, like, just that camaraderie in the section and policing the section where one night, I remember not being in the section but a brawl broke out, and I could identify who was picking who off. Like I could identify who was defending the section. You know, I know Patches is going to hold down the section. You know, I know my boy Matt is going to hold down the section. I know John is going to hold down the section. Like, you're not just coming over there drunk with a loud mouth, talking any way to anybody, disrespecting somebody. And it's the bleachers. And what I find, there's always somebody coming over there to tell me, get up, you're in my seat. And I'm like, well, there's no seat. These are bleachers. And this is fluid. And change your approach. Enter as if you're a Yankee fan, and we're all Yankee fans, and we're going to root for the Yankees and watch the game. And this is peaceful over here. We don't need to have any smoke. The biggest, you know, thing about that section is it feels like you're sitting there watching the game with family. You're watching the game and you're protected by people and you're laughing with people. And, you know, I think I said on here, you know, Mets fans don't understand me coming out of that section. I was raised in a culture of Mets suck. Mets fans suck. I didn't make it up. So when you hear the stadium sounds go ba-na-ba-na-na, and the creatures used to, there's only some now that do it, but the creatures used to ba-na-ba-na-na, Mets suck. Ba-na-ba-na-na, Mets suck. Like, it just was a natural thing. Doesn't mean we really, like, you know, actually, I can't speak for everybody. Because if it goes bump, bump, ba-na-na, Mets fans really suck. Like, it's okay. It's just part of the culture. But people take that the wrong way and they run with it. They take it too personal. Keith McPherson's a fan on WFAN. How could he? I was a bleacher creature long before I was on WFAN, and I was sitting in that section for more years than I've been on air. And I'm letting you into that. I'm pulling the curtain back on what goes down. We never thought we'd get a creature on WFAN. 888-808-1019. Even me, after my tryout 3 years ago, I went and got with the gang. They're like, you're next up, bro. You got it. I'm like, hell no, that's one and done. Richard is in Manhattan. Welcome back, Richard. You're on the Fan.
Hi, Keith. I think Boone handled it great. And I think Torres handled it great. We'll start from the beginning. Torres embarrassed himself, which he's done before. This was one of the worst. I mean, this was one of the worst. Boone had to say something. And I don't think this was planned. I think he did it great. He didn't want to talk about it after the game. The kid stayed in the dugout. He took his medicine. He never had this done before. So this was a great first step. You know,
so do you think this is it, Richard? Do you think that he locks in, no more mental mistakes, no more...
I don't know. I don't know. I can't predict the future. If he's smart, he will. Keith, I can only draw upon my life experiences. And whenever somebody's gotten mad at me and had a fit in front of people and embarrassed, that wasn't because of what I just did or what I just said. It was building up. They didn't like me or like my act in totality. If Boone would have went off on him, it would have really shown that all this stuff that he's been doing before this, he didn't like it. For what reason? You can't burn bridges like that. You can't go back and tell somebody what you were doing all along. I don't like. I never did. You can't kill a kid. He did it in the gentlest way that you can do it. And if the kid doesn't learn, like suspending him for a week or making it a big thing with reporters after the game, that would really, really embarrass everybody, including himself.
That's not the Yankee way. Thanks for the call, Richard. He's not going to do that. And Boone did say, I've had a lot of grace. Think about how many conversations he has had one-on-one with Gleyber Torres over the years. 50. And he finally got to the point now, after you survived the trade deadline for the fifth time. Enough. I'm pulling you out of the game to show you that what I say to you after the game holds weight, that I do have power, and I've given you so many lives. You got 9 lives like a cat. But you know what? Like, enough. And that's where I'm at. They didn't trade him, but I know it's going to happen again. So I'm just like, you know, fool me, can't fool me, fool me, fool me, fool me, fool me, fool me, fool me. Now you're not fooling me. Now I just know who you are. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Gleyber Torres has shown you who he is. He's thinking about himself in the moment. In the moment, he's thinking, I just hit a 2-run bomb to take the lead. This place is rocking right now. These fans are drunk. It's a Friday night in the boogie down Bronx. Section 203. They're wearing Hawaiian stuff. I just took the lead. Oh wait, that ball did not carry all the way out. It bounced off the top of the wall. You could even see. That's when I talk about puppy dog Glaber. You could see the look on his face when it didn't go out and he hustled to first and it was just a single. And we don't know whether he would have got to second base if he really... It might have been a close play the way that ball hit off the top of the wall and came back. But he knew he messed up. He knew he messed up because you know how they do the two fingers to the eyes? That's their new celebration now. I see you. I'm dialed in. Eye to eye. All eyes on me. I don't know what it means. I know when DJ does it, he does it funny. He's a robot. It doesn't look that cool. It looks like it's, I don't know. But when Glaber got to first base, he looked back at the dugout and it was a look like, and I think he probably caught the attention of some of the teammates or whoever else where they're looking like, bruh, why did you pimp that? You look like Josh Donaldson. Jose is in Newburgh. What's up, Jose? You're next.
Jose, what's up, Keith? Listen, congratulations on your anniversary, man. It's big.
Coming up. I mean, they could fire me in the next 20 days, and then I don't make it to 3 years.
You in there for the next 20 days, man. You in there. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got a lot of good feedback. We all really appreciate you. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Listen, I grew up across the street from the courthouse on the concourse.
Yeah.
I could hear the stadium all my life, you know, for growing up as a kid.
Awesome.
We really couldn't afford to go to too many games though. But once in a while we get in there, you know, the old stadium. I remember I walked through the dugout one time to with my school when I was in elementary school, and that's a feeling and a memory I have to this day. Like I walked through the dugout, man, where Babe Ruth was at, man.
Yeah.
You know all the greats. That was an amazing feeling, man. So yeah, being back there in the old time. We used to go to the bleachers back then, man. I remember getting into a fight as a little kid, you know, just good times.
Kid fights at the stadium.
I was a little kid, man. You know, it was good times.
Yeah,
you know?
we'll let the kids go. The grown men can't be fighting at the stadium.
No, you can't do that. No. But, you know, I listen, and this is like the best, worst, you know, we're like 20 games above 500, and it's excruciating. Like, you know, me personally, I can't blame Boone for this and that. Man, we're 20 games above 500. What should we be, 40? You know, like, that's the way the guy, people on the fan make it.
Nah, but not for nothing.
Team.
They should have 75 wins by now. I know I was dumb tight. They got to 50 so fast. It took forever to get to 60. I'm like, we should be well over 70. There was so many opportunities.
Know. But it's baseball, baby. It's not going to be that easy, you know? And I think we haven't, I don't know if we have enough, man. But I hope this kid, Smith, comes back and I hope he gives us that life, man, in the starting rotation.
That'd be great.
Listen, I really quickly wanted to touch on the Giants, man. I'm excited. You know, football's coming back, baby. Mm-hmm. And listen, man, this is the way I see it. We revamped the offensive line and the defensive line. If they're both within the top 10 of the league average, I think we're going to have a good year, man. We're going to compete for the division title, I think, man. I mean, I'm being hopeful, man.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the Cowboys being that good. Maybe this is the year. I mean, the Giants usually sweep.
I'm shocked. I heard. I said, Keith is a Cowboy fan, man. Yeah. Oh, man, this guy.
I mean, you know, at 5 years old, we don't make the best decisions. Thanks for the call, Jose. 888-808-1019. It was cool for like 3 years, you know, and it's just wearing off now. I can't undo it. Stay down till you come up, though. Whatever team you root for them. But, you know, I forget the caller's name that calls me that's an old Cowboys fan. He's like mad. Like, I get that now, right? Like, Cowboys fans in the tri-state area want me to be the Cowboy fan on the fan that, like, goes against the Giants fans and we them boys, it's our year. No. I'm just going to keep it real with you. Like, I've been going through this my whole life. It's not our year. It's not going to be our year. They're not going to just, like, yeah, maybe they'll win some games again in the regular season, and then they'll fold in the playoffs. They'll fire the head coach. They'll let the quarterback hit free agency, and they'll set the franchise back 10 years. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's take another break. I'll be right back.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
You're now rocking with the best. Still here. Still got plenty to do. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM. We're going till midnight. Talking sports, taking your calls. No more guests, but shout out to Pat Ragazzo and Dan Duggan for joining me tonight. Pat and I talked about the Mets and the Yankees as the Mets get a win today to kind of back off the negative Nancys in their fan base. And the Yankees have an off day. And I feel like it's a much-needed off day, especially after you barely beat the Toronto Blue Jays, and you got to sweep the Angels, man. You just got to sweep the Angels, man. And we talked a little bit about the Giants with Dan Duggan, and I talked some more about the Jets. Let's get back to the phones, and I'll continue to add different things from Major League Baseball, from the NFL, and you'll call and you'll give me your thoughts and topics, too. Another theme tonight is the bleachers and the bleacher creatures in Section 203. And, you know, we had a caller. I was like, what was your favorite memory from being in the bleachers? And I'm like, there's just so many of them. They kind of blur together. I don't have one that stands out. There's so many nights in the past and still so many nights. More memories to be made. What I really am looking forward to is some postseason events because the bleachers in the postseason is another animal. There's beer in the air, popcorn thrown in the air, people high-fiving. Give me three. If you know, you know.
Were you ever in there for in the old stadium during the playoffs in the bleachers?
Nah, dude. I was too young. And, you know, I don't know if enough people know this about me. I never went to the old stadium. I was never around. No, my parents. Bro, I didn't get to. I brought my mom to Yankee Stadium for the first time Mother's Day 2 years ago. I didn't get to Yankee Stadium with my dad until I was 23. I grew up broke. I grew up with no bread. Thinking about even, like, I remember being young, thinking about when the stadium was closing, thinking about how, like, the logistics of how to take the train, get to Yankee, take the train from Long Branch to Newark Penn State or New York Penn Station, take the subway, even looking at that and what it was going to cost on top of a ticket and food. One, I couldn't afford it. Two, the little bit of money I had, it scared me because I'm like, what if I do this and I get stuck in New York City, I have no money, whatever. There was a possibility to go with my older brother, but my brother didn't want to babysit. My brother wasn't that into baseball. When he went to baseball games, it was a drinking thing. Like, oh yeah, we're going to go get hammered at this game. He wasn't trying to string his little brother along. So, nah, I never got to go to the old stadium, man. It's like, I can't even say it's a regret. It's one of those things where I just was like, as a kid, I did not think it was possible. I thought Yankee Stadium was for rich people that lived in New York. You know, I just did not think, I didn't think I would ever go.
It still is.
I was explaining to someone the other day. I'm like, do you know how much money it costs to sit in Legends? Do you know how much it costs for you to rent out an entire suite? Like, these people are paying thousands of dollars to see the Yankees lose. Like, 40,000 people plus. And the expensive seats cost so much money. Like you have to be well off to even swing it. And, you know, that's why I think a lot of, you know, kids and even adults, some people relate to me that I talk to, they're like, bro, like, we understand some of the stuff you talk about when you're like, you grew up in a two-bedroom apartment with four people. Like, you know, your mom told you she couldn't pay for you to go to college. Like, that's real life stuff. We're in New York. That's what people deal with more than not. So, like, me growing up 2 hours away from the stadium, I just didn't even think it was possible. I wish I could have. I've watched so many videos and things. I wish I could have gone to the old stadium before they knocked it down. I just did not have the money. I did not have a way. I did not have a mom or a dad saying, we got to take you to Yankee Stadium. So you little guys out there that are listening, you're blessed if your parents have done that. I did that for my son. Like, my son, he won't remember, but he'll see the videos and pictures. He's 15 months running through the suite level at Yankee Stadium. He's 15 months eating those freshly baked
brownies and cookies at Yankee Stadium. You know, like, I'm proud and I'm happy that I'm able to do that for him. But I don't fault my parents for not doing that for me. Like, it just, we didn't come up in a family like, yeah, they're Yankees fans, but not baseball fans. It was never on the table. And I think, like, even the first time I went to Giant Stadium, and it was Giant Stadium as a kid, you know, shout out to Coach Williamson and Ocean Township Pop Warner Football. I was 11 and we went as a group, took a bus up the turnpike, you know, to East Rutherford. And I remember actually seeing, I think it was Giants versus Colts. I think it was Peyton Manning's rookie year. And we were so high up, but I just remember as a kid, man, that blows your mind. The first NFL game that I went to, my grandmother took me to the Jacksonville Jaguars, their inaugural season, their first preseason game. I think they played against the Falcons. And I sat on the top of the stadium back then. But as a kid, it just blows your mind. I know, you know, I thank my grandmother for that. I'm like, that, like, I wanted to play football. I wanted to watch football. I wanted to, like, after seeing that, I was almost a Jaguars fan. I might turn back into a Jaguars fan. My son's name is Jackson, and we've got this whole plan. There's going to be, like, a five-part series where we pick his NFL team. He knows Nangies. That's how he says Yankees. He's already a Yankee fan. But I'm not making him a Jerry Jones Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm not putting that evil on my kid. Like, I accidentally did it.
J-E-T-S.
He could very well be a Jets fan. I would not stop him. I know there's some Jets fans right now being like, wait, spare him.
Don't do it.
If he wants to be a Giants fan, of course I'm going to let him be a Giants fan. I don't hate the Giants like that as a Dallas fan where I'm going to stop my son, especially if, like, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll actually are building a pathway to this team being like, we don't know what they're going to be in 4 years when my son wants to potentially be a fan. And I live 20 minutes from the stadium. So, yeah, I'm going to have this whole series. I definitely want to bring him to Jacksonville because I got a ton of family in Jacksonville. His name is Jackson. He might just want to root for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe. We'll see. 888-808-1019. Again, you guys who have parents that put you in the stadium, even, you know, as you're a grown man now listening to this and you remember that first time you went with your parents, like, thank your parents because there's a lot of young kids that love sports and watch sports on TV, and we think it's just a TV show. That's all I just thought this is TV. You know, even as I got older, the Yankees were appointment TV. I'm watching the game on TV. I got older and I started going to maybe one game a year. That's why people are like, how do you go to so many games? It never gets old for me. It's brand new. And now that I've worked and turned my, like, passion into my profession and I have the access that I have, yeah, I'm driving sometimes in 90 minutes of bumper-to-bumper traffic. I don't care. We in there.
Yeah, it's funny you say it never gets old because I have to thank my grandmother. My father was a huge sports fan. I was lucky enough to go to games with him. But my grandmother, she would take me to a game or two at Yankee Stadium every year. She doesn't care about sports. She would sit there on her phone, you know, in later years, earlier years with a word puzzle or whatever. But she wanted me to have that experience, and she wanted to take me to Yankee Stadium.
Because she knew. You're a little boy.
Exactly. I loved it.
And you, yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
I mean, she saved the paper, the newspaper clippings when they won the World Series in 2009 and gave them to me because she knew that I would want to have them, you know? Yeah. But, again, every time I go there, still I have this thought where I look at them, especially if I'm sitting up close, if we're lucky enough to get the seats from here or whatever, and I go up close and it's like, they look the same as they look on TV. Like, it's the same people that you're watching on TV. Of course they do, but it's the same people that you're watching on TV. It still, you know, can amaze you at times.
I mean, I go to live games, and I watch Yankee Encore.
Oh, yeah. I always watch it after.
But yeah. I always watch the replay because I want to see what I missed from the broadcast. What, you know, I always do that. And, yeah, it never gets old. I love what I've figured out at Yankee Stadium now. My wife actually took me to my first game. She gets that stamp. She was smart. She starts dating a guy that doesn't miss a game on TV. She starts dating a guy in college who's always got a Yankee cap on. And she says, why don't you go to the game? I'm like, I can't. She's like, what do you mean you can't? Like, I can't afford it. I can't pay for the train, the subway. It just seemed like a lot to even do. And here's a funny story. The first time we did that, it was my birthday. forget. I think it was my 21st birthday. And we were so just clueless, but she was being a good girlfriend and got bleacher tickets in section 203. We took the train up and we didn't even know how to use the Metro card. We tried to swipe the Metro card once and go through together through the turnstile at once. It got jammed up. There actually happened to be police there. They wrote us up tickets. And then they showed us how to get two Metro cards, swipe it, and go through and how to use it. I'm like, we're already messing up. See, this is exactly why I never tried to go with my own. Because now, look, I got $150 in a ticket. I never paid my ticket. She paid her ticket. I remember telling her, you don't got to pay that ticket. She paid her ticket. But I'm like, see, this is already costing us, right? Now how much money can we spend in the stadium to eat? And like, what time are we going to get home? And it just was treacherous where I just like, I can sit here in the comfort of my college dorm or my college house and watch the game for 3 hours for free, for perfectly fine and free. And you know, I don't know. I always say the first time I heard that PC Richardson, I said, I'm in the TV. And I realized, like, you're not in the TV, dude. You're in Yankee Stadium. You're at the game. It's just the first time you've heard that PC Richardson strikeout jingle loud, and it made you feel like I did it. I broke down that wall. Like, somehow I like, I don't know, like a weird movie where people fall into the TV. Like, somehow I broke through and got in, and here I am. 888-808-1019. Let me take a call. This is one of my favorite people online, I believe. Pamela in the Bronx, you're on the Fan.
Hello?
Hey, what's up, Pam?
Hey, what's up? I'm sorry. I was a little delusional, you know.
Because I said you're my favorite. Because you are always positive. You are always supportive. Every time I see you writing on Twitter, you get me pumped up.
Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. Now, Keith, I want to talk about these Giants. I know I'm always talking about Daniel Jones. And I know they're coming on this week. What do you think that he's going to do?
I think he's going to show people. Well, first off, he's not going to play. And we should talk about that. I think he should play in the preseason. I think at least one game, at least one series, a little bit of a dress rehearsal. So I can't talk. Dress rehearsal. So, like, what I think Daniel Jones is going to do is if he has protection, he's not going to be taken off as much. He's really going to have to be a surgeon. He's going to have to be surgical with the ball as far as, you know, fitting it into windows, knowing his timing, his mechanics, his steps, getting the ball to those receivers. That's what it's all about. He knows it this year. He said it himself. He's got to be more consistent. So look for Daniel Jones to get it done through the air. It's his third year in the offense. He's got weapons. If these guys are healthy up front and they can keep him upright and he doesn't have to worry about getting hit as much, I think he's going to throw that ball. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for him to have a 2025 touchdown season passing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. What about your Cowboys, Dak Prescott? Because they only give, I know you don't want to talk about that because I know they're giving him $53 million, you know, and then either $53 million or he's going to get free agency. What do you think about that one?
This is a fourth round draft pick. This is a guy that they never had to pay that much money. But you know what? They never believed in him. Similar to Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones, they actually paid. They kind of defaulted into, hey, we got to give this guy this contract. We can't afford to lose him. But with the Cowboys, they never believed in Dak. They didn't pick up his rookie option. They didn't want to pay him. They franchise tagged him multiple times. They even structured this contract so they could get out of it now. And look, he had a almost MVP season last year. And now you're going to have to pay him again. And you're going to have to pay a fourth round pick that you never believed in top dollar. Mm-hmm. So it's only a matter of time. I think they're going to let him walk, though, because I honestly think Jerry Jones loses sleep at night thinking about Dak's moments that, you know, he just couldn't get it done in the playoffs. I don't think he's somebody that Jerry Jones wants to pay again, because Jerry Jones at 81 years old is like, this isn't working. I need to get to a Super Bowl and win it. We need another guy. Dak's not the guy.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, I heard that Jerry Jones is in some type of paternity thing with some woman or something like that?
Yeah, they just settled it. He paid up a little bit more money, but that's done in the past. Now I saw the New York Post cover it. Yeah, he missed the start of training camp because he was handling that. You know, he was hiding a child. You got to let that girl come home. She wants to be a part of the Joneses. She's keeping up with the Joneses. You can't hide Mrs. Davis or whatever her name was.
Well, let me tell you about D'Angelo. He's gonna soon croak soon, you know, with his old self. You know, he's
no, not croak. Not Daniel Jones, Jerry Jones.
I mean, what's the guy's name again? The one that owns Dallas Cowboys, what's his name again?
Yeah, Jerry Jones. I know we're talking about the Joneses. Jerry, you mixed Jones. Up. You said Daniel Jones is old. He's going to croak. No, he's not. He's going to ball. He's going to play. You need him to play.
Oh, and I want to talk about one more thing is the Yankees. You know, I mean, the Yankees was kind of struggling the other day. I mean, they were really, really
struggling. So are they back? Because I was told that they're back. I thought they were back, and then I see them struggling Friday night and then struggling again on Sunday. Barely beat. I'm like, this is a last place team in the Toronto Blue Jays. You're supposed to sweep them. It's supposed to be easy work, but hopefully they do that to the Angels.
And I saw your little Hawaiian shirt on Twitter. Boy, you're just so good with your Hawaiian shirt.
Listen, I mean, I put that on, you know. I got a couple fits, a couple outfits. I can put it together.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Pam. Appreciate you. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night, and then it's open mic time. Whatever you guys want to talk about. If you want to talk about your first time that your parents took you to Yankee Stadium, let me know. If you want to tell me how you became a fan of the Detroit Lions, nobody around here, right? Maybe somebody or any other NFL team. It's wide open for that. If you want to talk Olympics, if you want to get a word in on the Mets, the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets, we can do that. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan, a 5-hour KM to AM. The last hour comes up right after this.